Blog Talk Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, one moment that you captured, just let it slip.
Well, that is the perfect song for what we're talking to tonight. If you had just one shot, one opportunity. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Football 52. I'm your sports chick, Nicole Monique, and we're the only podcast giving you football every week because, well, that's what real fans like. Here at Football 52, we promise to always inform and entertain, and I promise you, we're going to be different from any podcast you're ever going to listen to. Why? Because we give you flavor. And what's that flavor, you ask? Well, it's about having a different host every week. Is that not the coolest thing? So don't get too used to my voice because you may not hear me every week. We're going to bring other people from the Football 52 family on. And let's go ahead and meet two of the guys who are actually co-hosting with me today. We first up have, well, he's a native New Yorker who talks as fast as the city moves. I love it. He's been playing fantasy football for over 20 years and has been philosophizing. Okay, thanks, Matt, for messing me up with that big word, about it much longer. Guest writer on Beck's Sports Page and overall nice guy. Let's give it up for Matt Berkson. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hello, Nicole. How are you?
I'm good. You messed me up with the philosophizing, and I still don't even know if I said the word right.
I know. I should have gone to, like, the college-level vocabulary, like show number 9, you know, but I thought we were fully stressed. We just dive right into it.
You messed me up with that. But also joining me and Matt tonight, well, he grew up playing sports and loving sports. He was born and raised in Bergen County, New Jersey. He's been a Yankees fan as long as he can remember and is an avid player of all fantasy sports. He's also a Jets fan, and my condolences to him for that. And he loves watching his team perform at MetLife. With no further ado, let's welcome Steve Stanoff. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Nicole, how's it going, man? How's it going, Matt? How's everything?
I'm good. I'm good, Steve. Good to hear from you.
And, Steve, I'm sorry to have to give you a little dig about the Jets. Don't get me wrong. I do like the Jets,
hey,
but, you know, they did my boy Rex wrong, so I had to kind of throw that out there.
Oh, I'm used to it by now. You know, I've been a Jet fan for about, like, a good 8 to 10 years now, so I've definitely heard it all. So I don't know if you can abuse me anymore, Nicole.
I know. So, guys, look, I was kind of explaining to the listening audience out there about Football 52, the fact that, you know, we're football fans just like they are, and the fact that we're going to give them different flavor every week. Real quick, if you just kind of give the people out there listening an idea of what football means to you, Matt,
what
for being
it
a football
to me?
Fan.
It is my religion. I'm more agnostic than most people, but this is, I take it incredibly seriously. I literally arranged my living quarters in Manhattan around which building had DirecTV so I could get the football package, to give you an idea of what we're talking about here.
I love it.
I can watch horrible teams, good teams. I love kind of the chess match. You know, somebody had a great quote which says that football is chess, and every 30 seconds the pieces come to life. And I really agree with that. And I love the strategy of it. So it's my number one hobby. I love it.
That's great, Steve. What does being a football fan mean to you?
I grew up playing it. I've always been a fan of the sport, watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, playing it as well, being a part of it, you learn the X and the O's of the game. And as from a fan point of view, though, just getting to see live football is just, there's nothing other than that, you know. That's the cream of the crop right there. I know I make my way every Sundays. I mean, I've only been a Jet fan, like I said, for about, you know, 8 to 10 years. That's always because I've always just been a fan of the sport, you know, and love to watch all the teams. And one of my first live games was a Jet game, and that's where I became a Jet fan, you know, getting to see the sport live. And it just took me, you know, and I wanted to see it over and over again. So
awesome. Well, I think you guys pretty much said it. Like you all, I've been a fan ever since I was like 4 or 5. My dad introduced me to the game, and I was probably the only kid, not to mention the only girl in middle school who, when I grew up, I wanted to win the Heisman, not knowing that you had to be a guy, let alone. But I've just always been very competitive. I love the game. And I don't care if it's college or NFL, when it comes to football, that's my thing. All right, guys, let's just dive in, because obviously all of the football fans are still buzzing about Super Bowl 50, where the Denver Broncos, the team that I picked, beat the Carolina Panthers. So let's break down the big game. One of the things that we wanted to do, and we had talked about this, we wanted to give you all who are listening to Football 52 the good, the bad, and the ugly of Super Bowl 50. So let's start out with the good, because you always want to start out on a positive note. Matt, give me your good for the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's so obvious and down the middle, but how can you not be pleased, unless you're like a Patriots fan, that Peyton Manning got to ride off into the sunset as a champion? He's arguably the greatest quarterback ever. He revolutionized the game during his career. And, you know, all the dominoes were lined up for him to go out on top, and we assume he's going to retire, and he got to do that. And that's a big positive. And I just think it's so obvious. If you want a more subtle one, you know, had Carolina won, the play of Coney Ealy on the defensive line was pretty stellar. And I think that's really getting overlooked in a lot of the Cam Newton thing, I'm sure we'll discuss. But that was my positive for the Panthers, for what it's worth, because that play got overlooked.
Okay. Hey, Steve, what is your good look like?
My good for me, actually, is Wade Phillips. You know, I mean, this guy's been in the league for, I think, about 38 years now. And no Super Bowls. I mean, he's a son of a bum, and, you know, he's had some football ties, some football blood going through him. And it's good to see him finally get a Super Bowl ring after all this time of being in the league. And I know he was actually up for that Denver job at one point, too, as well, before, you know, him and Kubiak took. And he actually ended up being a defensive coordinator. He did such a good job on defense, too, in the Super Bowl. I mean, that was – by far, they were the MVP, I mean, you know, for me, too, watching the whole game. So it's good to see him finally get his ring, and I'm glad. And he actually has a cool Twitter handle, too. It's a Son of Bum. So I thought that was kind of cool. So.
That is cool. Well, Matt, I definitely agree with you about Peyton, because he's definitely one of my favorite quarterbacks, him going on a high. But I also had to add a good in there as far as Von Miller. Not only was he in total beast mode, it just did my heart well or good whenever I see the defense kicking butt. I'm a Chicago 85 Chicago defense fan as far as the Chicago Bears. So anytime the defense could go in and kill it, and I like the fact that Von is just one of those guys who, you know, we all know he had a hard time in the league. He's gotten a little trouble here and there, but to him to go and dominate and kill it and bring down the likes of a Cam Newton, it was awesome to watch. All right, guys. With the good, now we got to talk about the bad. Steve, this time it's on you. What is your bad?
All right, my bad is actually it's good to see him get his Super Bowl ring, you know, second Super Bowl ring finally, and then maybe go out on top and ride off in the sunset. But I'm going to have to give the bad to Peyton Manning over there because, I mean, talk about not showing up for the Super Bowl. I had, like, 141 yards, no TDs and an interception. I mean, that's not really riding off in the sunset for me.
But see, I see it as the opposite. The reason I don't blame Peyton for that is because this is where the guy who you could tell who has a high football IQ, he was even smart enough to know, give it to the defense. He wasn't trying to showboat and be the star of the game. But I see what you're coming from, where you're coming from. Hey, Matt, give us your bad.
Am I allowed to go off field for this? Well, I'll give you an off field.
I did. So. Go for it.
All right. Well, I'm going way off field, but to me, I want to talk the Super Bowl halftime show. I'm sorry, but I gotta say, every year I hate it, and I'm a fan of you too. And when they played, I hated it. I don't understand. The rules are 12 minutes a half every throughout the season, and for the big game to get the average fan into it, now we have to make it 35, 40 minutes. You know, smoke that, you know, Beyonce's chopping up the field. There could be injuries for lackluster entertainment. It's never good. Like, if you want to do something, do it before the game and then let them play it out. So I am not a single halftime guy at all. Not at all.
Well, I feel you. Well, like you, I went off the field too. I had to say, I don't know if it's right. You guys, this is the worst year of commercials ever seen in my life. And let me tell you how bad it is.
For sure.
I still can't get puppy, monkey, baby or whatever out of my head. That was the most disturbing commercial I've ever seen in my life. But yeah, I was just. Yeah, for $5 million a pop, I mean, somebody got robbed because that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I even miss GoDaddy, and I think they had some of the worst commercials ever, but it was just awful. And then, you know, we all know the Super Bowl is about food and gluttony and just really going out there and drinking a lot. I don't need constipation. I don't need to see my intestines. I mean, I didn't need that. Every other commercial would have talked about somebody's backed up. I didn't need that because the Super Bowl is not getting backed up. You want us to eat all bad food.
Do without that.
So, yeah. All right, guys. Well, we had our good and we had his bad and we had our bad. Now it's time for our ugly. And I'm going to open up with this with what really pissed me off after the game is every reporter in their own special way tried to ask Peyton the same question about if he was going to retire. But they would try to rephrase the question, but they actually were asking the same question. How many times did Peyton Manning have to say, I'm going to kiss my wife, I'm going to kiss my kids, and have two Budweisers? and they still were not getting it. Oh, I hear you, Peyton. So do you think this is it? I just wanted Peyton to grab the mic and just start slapping folks. It drove me nuts. All right, Steve, what's your ugly?
My ugly is it's not terrible ugly, but it was ugly at the moment. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to say Cam Newton for after his game performance with the media. You got to answer some questions. This is his job. This is what he gets paid to do. People want to know what happened during the game. Why didn't he fall on the ball? Job to walk off. That's very unprofessional, in my opinion. And that was an ugly statement for kids of America to see him do that as a sore loser type of situation.
Yeah.
He's up there. He's an icon to a lot of these young kids, and he's got to think a little better now. I think, with that being said, over time he's going to mature. He is, and he's going to rectify that situation next time it comes around, if it does. And I think that was my ugly for now, though.
Okay, Matt, what was your ugly look like?
I got to piggyback on what Steve said and really pile on a little bit more. Cam Newton overall was the ugly. It's not just the media thing, and people make excuses for him. I mean, I'm watching an entire team of another 52 guys and other coaches act like complete professionals, and you can't take the good with the bad. You can't act like Superman all year when it goes good and not take the heat when it goes bad.
Exactly.
To the point, it didn't have to go down that road. My big negative on Cam, and enough people are talking about this, is about with 5 minutes to go in the game when there was that fumble and he jumped away from it. He is the biggest quarterback in the league. Russell Wilson would have been in on that. And you're down, and it's not like it was 38-6. You're down by one score. That could have literally been the game right there. And it was when C.J. Anderson scored the touchdown. So he, in a way, may have cost his team a touchdown. Even 48 hours later, if you saw the quotes yesterday, he said, "I can guarantee that had nothing to do with the final outcome." I couldn't believe it. So he, like, it's almost like he's not learning, even though he had a couple of days to get away from it. He's my big ugly
I definitely feel you on the press conference, because it's one thing if you didn't like him, he just gave you ammunition to like him anymore. And then if you do like him, there's not really much you can say, because, you know, like I said, I've been a Peyton Manning fan since he was at the University of Tennessee. Good or bad, and you could tell that a lot of times Peyton didn't want to be there. He could give a class on what it means to lose, and lose in a way to where he's had to hear all week about how Tom Brady's better than him and still stand up there and take all the questions. I mean, that's just part of the game. You know, you're not going to win them all. And I get it. You know, Cam said, "I'm a sore loser." I'm sure 85-90% of those guys are sore losers. I mean, because they're playing in such a top league and at such a top level. But it's still, that's part of your job to where, I mean, we all do jobs where there's probably part of it that sucks. But that's part of it. And trust me, if somebody gives me $100 million, I'd still be talking to the press. I'd probably invite them home. We'd probably sit around, have some chips and dip, and just break down the Super Bowl if they wanted me to. So, I definitely feel you on that. Hey, guys, if you're joining us, you're listening to Football 52. I'm Nicole Monique. I'm with Matt Bergson and Steve Spanoff, and we're breaking down Super Bowl 50. So, look, Peyton Manning, again, like I said, my favorite quarterback. He has 2 Super Bowl wins, 4 AFC championships, 5 NFL MVPs, which, of course, is a record, 14 Pro Bowls, and is the NFL all-time leader in career touchdown passes and passing yards. Want to know from you guys, does this pretty much, with this Super win, does this change Peyton's legacy in any way, or was his legacy already cemented before the game started? Steve, what do you think about Peyton's legacy after the football game?
For me, it was cemented before this game. I mean, whether he won 2 Super Bowls or he rode off in the sunset with just one, I thought this guy was probably one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen play the game. And that's growing up in an era with, like, you know, I've seen the older quarterbacks, but him and Tom Brady, for the most part, fair to say, I guess, 1 and 2. I think no matter how many Super Bowls Tom Brady has, he'll never be a Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning is a class act. Guy's a stand-up guy. Like you said, after the press conferences, you know, he's always there no matter what, whether he's feeling it or not. And I thought he was definitely the star.
So, Matt, what do you think about Peyton's legacy? Is he pretty much good to go, or do you think this game kind of took him to another level?
Nicole, it's such a great question, honestly. I think the first part of it is to really ask what his legacy was going into the game. And if you asked it for me, it would be maybe the most cerebral quarterback of all time, a guy who changed the game. You remember, nobody before him did, like, the fake hiking of the ball to see kind of, like, how the defense would hint their blitzes. And everybody did that, basically. He popularized that. He was like a Henry Ford of that movement. So I really think he changed the quarterback position in addition to playing it at an elite level. So to me, in that way, his legacy didn't change. The only benefit now is that he has two Super Bowls, and I was always a big proponent that he was a better player than Eli, and it was frustrating to me that Eli had more Super Bowls than him. So I'm happy that they're at least tied right now.
Good. So with that, do you all see the Broncos winning the Super Bowl again? Matt, once you could go ahead and continue, can you see them winning again next season?
You know, Steve mentioned earlier how Peyton, you know, really, you know, you could see like he really is at the end of his career and his play wasn't elite, but they are losing him, and it's hard to believe that Brock Osweiler will lead him there, assuming he's the starter, and it looks like he will be. But with that defense, I mean, let's be honest, their defense won in the Super Bowl this year. I mean, it got him into the position to be in a first-round bye, to get the bye, to get a home field advantage. So if they bring everybody back, Von Miller's healthy, happy, all the cornerbacks come back, I mean, they'll be in the mix for sure. I mean, who else is going to challenge them in the AFC other than the Patriots? I mean, I know we'll talk about it later, but they'll be in the mix, but I don't think it's a slam dunk.
Yeah. Steve, what do you think? Can you see the Broncos in the Super Bowl next season?
I mean, very similar opinion to Matt over there, actually. But I do actually see a little difference in some parts. I think Brock Osweiler can definitely handle the load. I'm not saying he's going to go out there and be a Pro Bowl-type quarterback or amazing, but I think it's fair to say he can manage a game somewhat well with people around him. And they still have Demaryius. They still have Emmanuel Sanders. I think the receivers there are strong enough to bring them to another level, lift them up a little bit. And, yeah, of course, that defense, it's so hard to overlook. I mean, if they're going to be together next year and somewhat healthy for the most part, I cannot see them not going back to the Super Bowl or getting very close to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I think it's going to be close, but as we all know, it's very hard to repeat going back to the Super Bowl. So with that, guys, let's kind of shift gears. I wanted to know, what mistake did the Panthers, did you feel like the Panthers made during the game? One of the things that I saw is I felt like they underestimated the speed of the Broncos' defense, and they didn't change up their game strategy. You know, all season we've pretty much been seeing them, how they've been playing the game the same way. I feel like Denver, and a lot of it had to do with, like what you said, Steve, Wade Phillips going above and beyond. I feel like the Panthers kind of took the safe route and didn't quite get the fact that DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller were like lions. I mean, these guys were just – the speed was ridiculous because I don't think throughout the regular season they saw a defense that fast. So what would you say was one of the mistakes that the Panthers made during the game, Matt?
Yeah, I think you touched on it very well. I mean, it's very hard to replicate that because you're right, they did play a softer schedule with defenses certainly in their division that weren't as stellar as they were. And they were probably the best defense they faced in practice, because the Panthers have a top-five defense. So I don't think that, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily a mistake, but, you know, in the first half, and maybe it was just nerves, but we know that Cam has a problem throwing high. You know, he missed on a couple of big plays that really could have turned the game. Because when you're talking about this team was a one-score game with roughly 5 minutes to go, a couple of those plays change momentum. Maybe all of a sudden they don't blitz as much. They got to play back and cover too. So I think, you know, in addition to what you said, the missing of those plays really could have changed the tone of the game in the first half and leading deeper into the game.
Steve, what's your take on that?
I mean, I really think that they got away from their game that got them there all year long. I mean, their run-heavy game. They did start to throw a little too much. They weren't behind as far as I would think that a team would need to throw that much in the game. I mean, they were they kept it close the whole game. The defense kept them in it for the most part. I mean, like I said earlier, Peyton Manning's numbers weren't either. So, they had a shot, and I think they got away from it. I know he gave the ball to Mike Tolbert a couple times. He fumbled. He lost one of them. And, that could have been because of Stewart being injured or whatnot. But I did see him come back in the game. I think they just got away from a heavy dose of Cam Newton and Stewart. You know what I mean? So
yeah, and I think you touched on something too. You know, good old-fashioned nerves. I think we forget at the end of the day, even though, you know, they're professional athletes, that team had never been there before because they don't have a lot of veterans. I mean, I think the median age is like, what, 25, 26? So they didn't have like a Peyton Manning or DeMarcus Ware guys who had been there before. So, you know, it's easy to say, you know, everybody kept saying all week, oh, they're calm, cool, and collected. Yeah, until the day of and you realize 120 people are going to be watching you. You know, so, you know, it takes a totally different take on it. And speaking of watching, I think one of the things that was the most interesting was, let's talk about Eli Manning's face. It's amazing how Eli still got some press for the Super Bowl, even though he wasn't playing. And for all those who are listening, if you missed it, there was where I believe the Broncos had just scored and they're getting ready for the two-point conversion. They went up to the booth or to the box to where all the Manning family was. Everybody was jumping up and down, and Eli had this face on where it almost looked like he was getting ready, like he had just finished, you know, one of those constipation commercials. You weren't really sure what was going on. So I thought it'd be fun if we could just all go around with what did you think Eli was thinking? And Matt, let's kind of picture Eli's face. What was Eli thinking at that moment, Matt?
I know we used the word philosophizing earlier. I know it's a very deep word, you know, in terms of the grammar level. I don't think I have the access to my vocabulary to fully describe it, but it's something along the line of like, shit, I just lost all my bragging rights, you know, to all the brothers.
Yeah.
But it's even more powerful than that because it was somewhere in between that and, like you said, a combination of constipation. He looked like he was in pain, you know, like somebody was like sawing at his ankles. Why? So it was above and beyond. Like he lost a $1 million bet to Peyton or something in that moment. So,
well, I thought he said, great, mom and dad love Peyton more than me now. So, you know, it's like I'd been the one, but now Peyton again won a second Super Bowl ring, so all bets are off. Steve, what did you think Eli was thinking at that moment?
I mean, you guys really took the words out of my mouth on that for the most part. I mean, I think the oh shit, I'm constipated philosophy, I'm going to have to run with that. I don't really know if I can really – top that one. That's pretty much what he was thinking right there. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it looked like it was a combination of both of the old shit. I think that was it right there. You know, I'm not the beloved son anymore. You know, I lost my up on Peyton Manning now.
Well, just so you know, it did come out that Eli said that he was really concentrating on the 2-point conversion, and Peyton also made the comment as well that when they watch each other, it's very intense and they're very focused. So. We were actually there with intensity, not constipation. So,
well, Nicole, I have to call Eli out on that because if you remember the Giants Patriots Super Bowl, late in the game when the Giants scored and it looked like they took the lead, Peyton Manning was going crazy, excited,
yeah.
You know, for now maybe he was equally rooting against Tom Brady. I mean, let's be fair, maybe it wasn't for Eli Manning, but nevertheless, he looked a lot less focused, a lot more enthusiastic.
Well, I can say as far as being the oldest and have our younger siblings, we're always happier than the youngest. The youngest always looked like, ah, crap. So,
that's
you know, I think if you're the youngest, I think Eli was thinking he was going to ride this, and that was his one dig he had. But with Peyton getting another ring, it's like, ah, great, now we're equal again. So,
yep.
But at least there's always,
yep.
But there's always Cooper Manning. So, hey, you know. We still got another brother not doing anything. So, all right.
He's got
Matt,
zero room,
you,
so I guess it's just...
Right. No, Matt, you had already touched on this, so I have a feeling I know what grade you're going to give it. But, Steve, I want to hear from you. What grade would you give the halftime show? I gave it an A-, B+, only because I appreciate the fact that Bruno Mars and Beyonce were drowning out Coldplay, because they were not the team to be... for a halftime show. And don't get me wrong, I like Coldplay, but that stadium was way too big for them. So I'd say A-, A+. Steve, what grade would you give the halftime show?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and give it a C-. And if not for, Beyonce and Bruno Mars, like you said, it would probably be an F because I actually like Coldplay too. Chris Martin, I don't know how they did it, but they managed to make him look bad, you know? So I'm going to go ahead and give it a C-. I was definitely unimpressed. I wish I could have saw a little more of Bruno Mars. I actually like this kid. Kid's out there dancing his butt off over there and everything. He's an entertainer, and I remember his last halftime show was fantastic. I actually loved it. So,
all right, Matt. So come in with it. All right. So we got an A-, C-. All right, Matt. I'm waiting to hear that like G or H or something crazy.
G H right. I give it a Q.2. I actually because I fancy myself a semi D person, I'll give it two grades. I'm gonna first give C just because these are some talented people. It's a lackluster, you know, some not the greatest performance for these people, and they always try to condense like 12 songs down to 7 minutes. So
right.
You know, C and it came out that way. But I'm going to give it an F for the fact that we even need to have a halftime show. I don't like the concept.
Right.
So the concept gets an F. The performance has got a C.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The ratings actually go up during halftime. So those are the folks who normally say, well, I don't watch, you know, I really don't get into football. It's amazing how they take the time to watch that segment. Because I don't know if I could do that as far as just watch one little segment of something and not watch the whole thing. So I'm always impressed that, it, you know, it's that pocket of people who only watch the halftime show.
But now
you know
why we have a halftime show. That's really the reason why. So it's not like the merit of the game or the it's just to get more ratings. So it's unfortunate. It should be about football, man.
Right, exactly. Well, folks, remember, again, you're listening to Football 52, the only football show bringing you football every week because that's what real fans like. Well, we have actually other news in the NFL. Terrell Owens did not make the class of 2016 Hall of Fame class. Some people were really angry about this, and some people just said, you know, they were glad he didn't make it. So it's either you're on one side or the other. I find it interesting because at the end of the day, T.O. had the numbers. He's the second all-time in receiving yards. He's sixth in catches and third all-time in receiving yards. And, you know, the Hall of Fame, they're notoriously stingy when it comes to, you know, letting wide receivers get in anyway. So I want to hear from you guys, and Steve, I'll have you start. Are they so into looking, like, at the other stuff that they're punishing him? Is that why he didn't get in as far as, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer?
Oh, 100%. You know, I mean, it's a whole bunch of guys, a lot of these writers and whatnot that, They hold grudges. I mean, they do it in baseball. They do it in all aspects of the sports when it comes to voting into the Hall of Fame. And, of course, they did it to him, too. His off-the-field antics definitely held him out this year for sure. I do think he'll get in, though, because his numbers are there. I mean, this guy has to get in. You know, there's no way you can keep him out of there. If he doesn't get into the Hall of Fame, then the whole system is flawed completely.
Exactly.
I mean, it's definitely a little flawed right now, but I mean, if he doesn't get in at all, it would be completely flawed in my sense how they do things.
I agree. You know, I do like T.O. I felt like kind of like with Ocho Cinco and some of these guys out there. You know, I know I have some friends who are like, you know, I just need people to play football. Yeah, but part of the NFL and the reason they're a $10 billion corporation is I feel like they're supposed to be entertaining. So even though some of the antics, and some were, you know, a little much, but for the most part, I like that because I kind of miss his celebration in the end zone because I do need that extra. With as much money as you're expecting me to pay for a ticket and jerseys and this, yeah, I do want to be a little bit entertained. So, Matt, what's your take on it as far as, you know, were the people voting just basically, you know, slapping him on the wrist and just saying, you know, we're getting you back for some of those other antics?
You know, it could be. I mean, I'm not in the voting room, and I don't know the intricacies of the process, but it certainly seems like that because if he was a choir boy, how could you think that he wouldn't have been in, you know, based on that? And to touch on your point about, you know, and I'm with you that there should be entertainment in the league, and I'm all for celebrations and all that, but I just don't feel like you should put yourself above the team. And T.O. did that way too much, and I think that, you know, there's a price to pay for that. The same way Cam losing in the Super Bowl, he's going to get that media heat when he's going to celebrate like Superman all the time. You know, you can't do push-ups in your driveway and have Drew Rosenhaus sitting there and, you know, holding out all the time and, you know, all the drama. You know, football at the end of the game, they may be rewarding you individually in the Hall of Fame, but it is a team sport, and he needs to remember that.
Well, and it's definitely going to be interesting because think about the guys who are even, like, behind or after T.O. I think you're finding more and more guys are really kind of, you know, it's all about me. They're kind of separating from the team. So it should be interesting if some of the guys after him become Hall of Famers. And let's talk about one of those guys, shall we? After 9 seasons, Marshawn Lynch, a.k.a. Beast Mode, a.k.a. Mr. Skittles, a.k.a. I'm just here so I don't get fined, is calling it quits. Marshawn let folks know that he was hanging up the cleats the only way he could by showing us a picture of his cleats via Twitter. So, Matt, were you surprised by this?
Well, I'm a Seattle Seahawks fan, so I know them better than any other team, so I'm not surprised because his body was starting to break down, and he's the type of player you knew it was going to happen pretty quickly, not over the course of like 3 or 4 seasons. So I'm really not. He's going out on top, and if all the reports are true that he hasn't really spent much of any of his earnings, he's going to do just fine. It's disappointing because, to me, he is like what football should be on the field, the toughness, the trying to get every last inch if it is a game of inches, and how brilliantly, like, how you that perfect combination of power and speed. Just, I'm going to miss him, but honestly, he's not the same player he was 2 years ago.
Well, you just touched on something, Matt, because, you know, watching the Seahawks in the past few seasons, obviously they've been a team that's dominated, and it seemed like with Marshawn out, they were still dominating. So it looks like, you know, life will go on for the Seattle Seahawks without Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, it'll be a little tougher, but they're a very talented team, and I've been waiting only 30 years for them to be this talented, so I would have been 6-3 if not for the something they put me through in the 80s and 90s.
Right. All right, so Steve, what's your take? Were you surprised by this? I mean, do you see Marshawn, like, being and actually going to the Hall of Fame now?
You know, I mean, I think you said, what was that, 9 seasons?
Yeah, 9 seasons.
You know, he's had great numbers. He's been a great back, definitely on field. You know, he's an example of how you're player to be, like Matt had said before. And, you know, I don't know if he has the years. I mean, it's just, if he would have played maybe three more years with some great numbers, I could definitely make an argument for him. I mean, I just don't see him getting into the Hall of Fame. I do have to say, though, I mean, I really commend him on the way he's handled the situation off the field and, you know, as a player. I mean, I didn't always love the whole I'm not going to speak to the media type thing, but the way he's handled himself as a person, and I hope he goes on in life. I mean, a lot of players in this league can definitely look up to him and the way he's handled his affairs, and I should definitely take that from him. Maybe he could start something else, you know?
I think Matt touched on something. You know, he's getting out at a good time. I mean, obviously, you know, the shelf life for a running back is only so long, but, you know, the fact that he's actually still relatively healthy is a good thing. I don't see him joining, you know, the ESPN sports desk or doing, you know, he's going to be a color analyst for Fox Sports anytime soon, but he's definitely getting out at a good time. So I commend him for that. And also I commend anytime somebody knows, like, it's my time. Like, for me personally, I'm kind of bummed that Calvin Johnson, you know, has decided to call it quits. I felt like he still had more in him. But, you know, these guys know better than we do as far as if they just felt, you know, out of love with the game or they just, you know, they just don't want to do it anymore.
And they're so in tune with their bodies, too. And, like, you know, working out all the time. I think they know sometimes how much their bodies can handle. And maybe they think that they're at the end of the time with their bodies, you know. Like, maybe that one last blow might put them over the edge, you know. And they just know. I got to commend these guys on that, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, let's also look at, I call this the under investigation side of the NFL. We have two stories that came out this week. It was reported that Johnny Manziel, he hit his now ex-girlfriend so hard on January 30th that it ruptured her left eardrum. Manziel obviously is denying this story, but he's now the subject of a criminal investigation. And for me, like, I'm over him. I've been over Johnny for a long time. I felt like he was, first of all, just overrated anyway. I don't think he should have won in the first round. But I think this is the NFL. They're seeing it happen when you see the hype of college, yet again, going to the NFL, it doesn't translate well. But, Matt, do you see Johnny being done in the NFL? I personally want him to be, and I'm praying the Dallas Cowboys do not pick him up.
I mean, I agree with you 100% about what you said. He's kind of a yin to Tebow's yang in the sense of their attitudes, but the bottom line is they have in common is they both can't play in the NFL. I did not think his game was going to translate to the NFL. Now, in all fairness, we're not getting to see if it does because he doesn't work at the NFL. He works at partying. But
right.
To me, I'm interested in always the psychology of the game, and what an interesting quote came out from his dad, and I think it was from like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, saying, you know, if he doesn't get help, he'll be out of the game, you know, because he almost is acting in a way where he wants to be out, that the pressure is too much. So I really think, you know, these are beyond cries for help, and I'm always worried about the human being first. He's literally a danger to himself and other people right now, so we need to act on it from a human being level. And until he gets that in line, he has no shot at the NFL, so I think it's beyond hanging by a thread, his NFL career, beyond.
Steve, do you see that as far as if he doesn't get help? I mean, not just football, push his football aside, just he needs some help.
I think these are definitely cries for help for sure, what's going on with him. I mean, anybody can look out the outside situation looking in. You can say this guy is coming apart at the seams. You know, he's mistake after mistake, missing this, hitting her. I mean, this guy's coming apart. He's leaving rehab early. I mean, these are the things that – maybe they should pay attention to it. The only thing that scares me the most, though, Cleveland has cut ties with him or going to cut ties with him. And, you know, I'm not sure if anybody's going to be watching out for him, really. That's the sad part.
Well, and you guys kind of touched on something, too, because I think didn't they have the same kind of episode or the same kind of thing with Josh Gordon? You know, it's kind of the same thing as far as these young guys get in trouble. And I feel like the NFL should – or at least the teams, and then I guess the same thing as the NFL, they need to step in. I mean, it's one thing to be selfish and stupid, but in the same token, it's with all the money that's being invested, who's actually taking the time to say, okay, and I don't know if that little rehab stint and the Browns are like, well, we did try rehab and it didn't work, but I feel like they need to be doing more, you know?
You know, it's a sad thing, though, Nicole. But, I mean, I think what the difference between Josh Gordon and Johnny Manziel is I mean, Josh Gordon is a great athlete in this league. I mean, he could definitely come into the league tomorrow and be amazing. I don't think Johnny Manziel has that. It comes to the fact that how much do these teams care about these players if they don't matter to them? You know what I mean? It seems to me they really don't care.
Yeah, and you know what? You just touched on something because winning solves everything. Think about it. If Cleveland had made it to the Super Bowl, we probably could have cared less about Johnny's antics. If anything, everybody would say, oh, yeah, you know, Johnny, he's such a partier, but we're winning. But when you're losing and you're a fool, those two things usually don't mix. So
you're done.
Somebody else is also losing this week. Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy, along with three others, are in connection with the assault of two off-duty Philadelphia police officers. And actually, before the show started, I saw that they are going to put warrants out for his arrest. I saw the little tape that's kind of going online. I really didn't see anything. You kind of saw like a scuffle and people pushing. But you can't really see anything. It's just sad, yet again, we have, you know, a fight breaks out, and now we've got the police involved, and to have an NFL player in the mix. I personally just get tired of these stories.
Amen. I'm so tired of them. I wish we could discuss, like, on the field or at least off-season movement and stuff like that. It's really sad, what can you do but mentor? And like you just touched on with Johnny Manziel, like what could all these teams do? Like, was it the Cowboys who hired bodyguards? Was it for Pac-Man Jones? Or I forget the player. Was it him?
It was Dez Bryant. Yeah.
Right. What are they going to do? I mean, you know, and I even reverse kind of touching back on the Manziel story. You know, you said it, you know, teams are winning. You know, a lot of this goes by the wayside. They wouldn't care if a guy's partying or not. But I think it's the other way around. I think losing teams find losing players. And look at the Browns' resume since they come back in the league in 1999. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I wonder, you know, with this McCoy story, we'll see it unfold, but it is a sad story. And I don't know how much – I mean, they can have courses. They do have some mentoring programs, but realistically, you can't, you know, enslave these. I mean, you have to let them live lives and go out, and 1 second trouble can happen, especially from their crew, even if they're not the perpetrator of that trouble.
Yeah, and I think you touched on something, too. There's got to be some sort of personal accountability and responsibility involved in there, too. I mean, look at us as far as grown folks. We can't go to work and act crazy and then just blame it on, you know, well, that's just how it is, and, you know, this is this, that, and the other. You're supposed to act a certain way even at work. We keep forgetting they're athletes, but they're still working because they're under the NFL, the shield of the NFL. And then at the end of the day, somebody's going to stand up and be a grown man and just kind of say, hey, enough is enough. I know it was me. I would never go out, and if I did, it would be Uber, because I'd be afraid of losing all that money. I'm just saying. So
doesn't the NFL also offer like driving services for these players from location to location? I don't understand why they don't take part in that. You know, I just don't get it.
Exactly. Or at least have somebody else hold the gun. I'm sorry. That was okay.
Yeah.
but I'm pumped. All right, guys. Well, now it's time to play everybody's favorite game. It's way too early, Super Bowl predictions. Yes, that's right. The Super Bowl is not even a week old, and we already have to predict who's going in next year. Matt, you're up. Who's going to the Super Bowl
all
next
right.
year, Matt?
If we're picking 363 days in advance, why not go with the Panthers in the NFC? But I have my reasons. It's very easy. Because, you know, I'm already into, you know, I'm a big into fantasy, and I like how off-season movement can affect a team. And they're bringing most everybody back. And they seem to be a team that could learn. You know, you're counting. Because Cam Newton took an amazing step this year. You know, let's not forget it, where he's only 2 years removed from the towel and that depressed look on the sidelines when he's down 10 points in a game. So he took a lot of steps this year. And we're going to see, I think, early on the first month of the season, did he learn his lessons? But they have all the talent and pieces are coming back. And for the AFC, because the Broncos certainly, like we said, will be in the mix. Steve said, Osweiler could be a game manager. You got to think that the Patriots will fix their problems, especially along the offensive line. And until Brady is out of the league, he's always going to be right there in the mix, especially because the AFC is just a cakewalk usually for them, as we know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick with the Patriots and the Panthers.
So that's going to be a good one. Steve, who do you have?
Very boringly, I definitely think the Panthers will be there for sure. I think Cam Newton, I think he learns from his actions on this past Super Bowl and mistakes. And I think he takes another step, too. And that next step from where he's at right now will be a giant leap, in my opinion. And I think he could definitely be back there again. He's going to have to go through Arizona again, of course. I think that team's still great, and Carson Palmer looks pretty good. He's coming to the twilight years of his years. I think he knows that, so he's going to start stepping up his game a little bit. I could see them back in there, both of them, fighting for the NFC Championship again. Excuse me. As far as the AFC goes, I mean, come on, the Jets, of course, right? They're not going to make the Super Bowl next year? I mean...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to laugh out loud. I'm sorry.
I mean, they're of course going to be, you know, the Patriots. They're going to go 2-0 against them in division, you know, so... just kidding. All kidding aside, as far as AFC goes, it's I think it's up for grabs still. It's so hard to say. I think it, you know, the defense of Denver, they were there. Brock Osweiler, like Matt said, cause, you know, he could be that game manager that they need. It's really hard to not see them there again. You know what I mean? That defense is unbelievable. They play at that level. I just don't see how they're not going to be there again.
Well, Matt stole my thunder I had the Panthers and the Patriots, too. I find, like you said, the Panthers are pretty much bringing everybody back. And then if they get Kelvin Benjamin on top of that and he's healthy, that's really going to take them to the next level. And then
forgot
the Patriots, you know Tom Brady was stewing all the Super Bowl 50 to see Peyton actually go out on top and get another ring and it be all about Peyton. And the fact that Peyton crushed them, you know, in Denver for the championship game. Tom is going to make sure Gronk is healthy. He's got to, like, buy folks in the offseason. I just need the Patriots coming back. And that, to me, would be one hell of a Super Bowl to have the Patriots and the Panthers.
Amen.
So that should be interesting. So kind of on the flip side, because we got a little time here, we talked about as far as, you know, who's going to make the Super Bowl. I want to ask you guys kind of a couple other questions real quick as far as what team do you think has to really, especially if you look at this season, really going to have to, like, just, I don't know, clean house or almost start over so they can kind of, you know, redeem themselves, if you will. You have a team up there that this year that you thought was going to do something and they bombed, that you kind of see them really kind of, you know, doing better as far as next season. Like, for me, I see it as the Bengals. You know, I always want Marvin Lewis to get that playoff win. And every year, you know, I pray that this is going to be the year. But it's kind of like, you know, every year waiting for your boyfriend to propose is never going to happen. That's why I feel like the Bengals. This is never going to happen.
Break up with him.
but do you guys have that one team where, like, every year you're like, this is going to be the year, and they constantly let you down? Matt, what's that one team that you see that it would just kill you? Like, could you just please make the playoffs, or just when you get in the playoffs, do something?
See, I'm with you on the Bengals. I actually want to keep seeing them lose because that's comedy to me. I mean, the way they lost the playoffs this year, is how pathetic was that? It was just
that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Ridiculous. So I'm not saying they need to clean house, but I don't think it's happening with Marvin Lewis. I certainly don't like their ownership. They need to tweak something at minimum, you know. In the AFC, I would like to see somebody other than the Patriots win that division. That would be exciting for one, you know. And I'd like to see it happen while Tom Brady's still playing, but I don't have my hopes up for that. So I do it more comedy, and I just root for my team. And I'd love to see the St. Louis Rams, you know, keep Jeff Fisher until he decides to retire in 2030, and then they petition the league to make him stay on longer, because it seems like there's a guy who's not doing the job, and yet they refuse to get rid of him. It's amazing. Just an amazing set of circumstances, because they have some talent on that team. As you know, that team should be better than they are, I think.
So Steve, what team is that? It doesn't have to be your own team, but is there a team that you kind of look at that you're like, this could be the year, and they break your heart every year?
I mean, I guess I don't really have a team for every year. As far as the NFC for next year, I did mention them before, too, and I do like this guy, Carson Palmer, as a quarterback. I like to see them actually get to the Super Bowl. Maybe he can grab one before he walks off into the sunset like Peyton did. You know? And I do. I think I like to see them. And year in, year out, you see this guy, Carson. You know, he always kind of, like, you know, gets injured or they just quite don't make it. I'd like to see him finally get there, you know, let him get his shot at getting that ring. And that's from the NFC. As far as the AFC goes, I'll take it back to my division. Matt wants to see, you know, somebody other than the Patriots win it. I'm not going to mention the Jets, but I think the Dolphins, they have all this talent. You know, they added two to the defense.
Right.
They have Landry. Tannehill was supposed to be there. I think that this team has that talent. I just don't get why they're not in the mix really all that much, you know?
Yeah, and they got rid of Philbin. I thought that would help them, and it didn't seem to really do anything. And I feel you on Tannehill,
exactly,
because
too.
Everybody kept telling me Tannehill's the coach you get, or the quarterback you get for fantasy football. So I go out of my way to get Tannehill, and ugh.
Yeah.
You talk about this. Let's talk.
Quite it,
so,
though, you know?
Yeah, I learned my lesson. And something told me to get Cam, but everybody kept telling me, no, if you want the numbers for fantasy football, go with Ryan Tannehill. Oh, God.
Who told you that?
Oh, wow.
Let me tell you.
I don't know who that
people
is.
Who did, people who did apps, people who just, I mean, I did all my research, and Ryan Tannehill was like the person everybody wanted. But I'm going to tell you, it's never going to happen again. Ryan Tannehill and me, it never happened again. I learned my lesson.
So he's your guy, right? You always get one of those players throughout our life that's like, oh, never again for sure. Yours is Tannehill, huh?
Yeah. I was beyond last. Like, everybody was like laughing at me. Like, they were like, oh my God, you got Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. I learned my lesson.
Even worse, what round did you take him in?
I don't even want to, you know, it really doesn't matter. It's over.
All right,
so.
Let's move on. Right, let's move on to 2016.
Yeah.
What do you have to look at the past?
It must be the top like, five or something.
Yeah. You know, once the Super Bowl ends, you start over. You don't talk about what you did last year in fantasy. So.
Hey, listen, Nicole, I'm looking forward to this year of Football 52 fantasy, actually.
Oh, that's gonna be brutal. Yeah, that's gonna be brutal. So, speaking of, how did you guys do in fantasy? You know, I ended up last. How did you guys fare this year in fantasy football?
Oh man, I'll tell you. I've been doing it, like I said, over 20 years. I had never had a situation come by like this. And in my league, my biggest bragging rights league, I was in the finals, and I had the Monday night game. I had was the Denver versus Cincy. And I had both kickers, and I needed 7 points. So I had to decide between the kickers to get 7 points and chose wrongly, but neither one of them got 7 points. So I lost my championship by 1.3 points. So.
Oh, wow.
Fun times. First
yeah.
time I've ever experienced that. So I guess second place and a very torturous second place.
Yeah.
Would
See,
you rather
you
lose by the 1.73 or would you rather lose by 100.73?
Great question, Steve. 100. You know what I'm saying? It's that scene in Moneyball. Like, would you rather be like Sting or like just shot in the head or like bleed to death? And he's like, I think it's the exact line. But just get it, rip the Band-Aid off right away, kill me. And it was just so torturous. Like every player I had, Antonio Brown, like I had a lot of very talented teams. They all had their crappiest week of the season. So,
Matt, do you guys in your league, is it money? Do you guys win for money or just bragging rights?
Is this being recorded right now? Because I don't know if I'm allowed to answer that question. I think the FanDuel police or the attorney general might come to my apartment.
We'll leave it at that. Yeah.
No, we're playing for money.
You guys live.
I'm out there. We play for money and in some case big stakes. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay. Nice. Steve, how did you do this year?
Well, I mean, I'm in a bunch of leagues, actually. We play for money, and it's the money's nice. Don't get me wrong, Nicole. But at the same time, though, it's all about that bragging rights. I want the trophy.
Yeah.
Give me the belt, and that's what I want to walk around with. I don't even care how much money they're going to give to me unless it's millions. Give me the belt, though. That's what I want. And unfortunately, I did not win one belt this year, though. So I've had a fairly disappointing year. A couple of my leagues, I did really bad, no playoffs. I think half my leagues I made the playoffs in. Didn't really go far. Maybe semis, I think a couple teams made it to. And that was pretty much about it, though. You know, losing in the semis, Matt said, you know, it's just as bad as losing by 1 point. You know, you're right there. You just don't have enough to make it. You know, I'd much rather not make the playoffs than make the semis. So lose.
Right. Right. Well, like you said, I'm definitely looking forward to this year when we do Football 52 because I think all of us are so competitive. And, I mean, the draft is going to be brutal. It could possibly end some friendships. And probably, you know, maybe some fights. I think it's going to be that kind of draft.
I'm excited about this.
Nicole, if I can ask you, so now that you're not going to draft Ryan Tannehill, who would be your number one pick going into next season?
Well, here, you know what's sad? I had an opportunity to get Cam, and I didn't because I was trying to be so strategic, and I was going to kill everybody. So I was like, ha ha, I got Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
That's why I don't
break
after.
Yeah, because I mean, that's the thing. I did too much research. Next year, I might just have the system pick for me because it's just too much. It turns into like college. It's just too much. So I think next year I might just let the system do my picks and just go for it and see what happens. So. Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I definitely learned my lesson. So, hey, folks, I hope you've been enjoying listening to us on Football 52. And, you know, here on the show, we had all talked about everybody in the Football 52 family as far as, you know, how do you end the show? So we always want to end on a positive note. We want to end with something, you know, inspirational, whether it's a story or a quote or something like that. And Matt actually has something for us. So, Matt, I'm going to kind of put it on you as far as, you know, if you have a quote or a story or something.
Well, if I had a story, I'd definitely run over. I should keep it to a quote. But I'm big into closure, bringing this kind of full circle. As we started out the show talking about Peyton Manning, I'll dedicate this quote to him. And the quote mm-hmm. is, "The man on top of the mountain didn't fall there." And it's said by Vince Lombardi. And the point of it is, because
nice.
I really respect Peyton Manning's game, I don't believe in luck that much. And I believe in hard work really makes your luck. And Peyton Manning really was one hell of a son of a gun in terms of his work ethic, and he deserves all the accolades and success he got, and certainly did on Sunday. So that's my quote.
That's awesome. I like that. And, you know, I get ribbing for being a Peyton Manning fan, but I'd say right now my two favorite quarterbacks are Joe Montana, and then Peyton, because like you said, with the hard work, I mean, you have to respect guys like that. And, you know, I've just, for me, it's going to be hard when he retires, and I know this is it, but, you know, he has to, but it's still, you don't think you're going to see another Peyton Manning anytime soon. So they'll be good quarterbacks, but I think it'll be a long time before we see another Peyton Manning.
Yep.
All right, so Matt and Steve, obviously, this has been a lot of fun, have enjoyed it, but we got to let folks know where they can follow you, because they'll be hearing your voices again. So, Matt, where can folks find you and follow you? Don't give out your home address. Keep it social media. So.
No. I want you to tune into show number 4. You know, you can't give everything at once. You know what I'm saying? The information striptease is a slow act. No, but
you gotta keep it,
I'm on Twitter, and I'm on it pretty religiously, and the handle is @footballfriend, @footballfriend.
Nice. All right, Steve, where can people find you and follow you and get to know you more?
Football 52 is pretty much where all my work I'm doing at the moment. Hopefully in the future, maybe I got some other things planned in mind, maybe starting up a website or something. But at the same time, Football 52. And you can find me in my Twitter handles also, Steve, and that's Spanop, and that's STEVESPANOP at twitter.com.
Awesome. And, folks, be sure you can join me every Tuesday night. I host my own show. It's called That's What She Said Sports, also on Blog Talk Radio. I'm on the Happy Hour Network, and you can follow me on Twitter at @TWSSports, and you can also check out my website at TWSSports.com. Every week I like to have, like, a really cool poll question for you all to answer, so definitely check me out. And this has been great. I mean, I think for us to kick it off, it's just going to get better, and but I'm really happy that Matt and Steve, you guys could be my first here at Football 52. So, and take it for whatever, however that sounds. I know Randy's probably like, did she just say that? Yes, I did. But but
I was
going to
say likewise, Nicole. I was going to say likewise.
right. But I think it's really cool, though, that, you know, every week we're going to have different hosts because, you know, there's such different perspectives, different opinions, just like with today. And it's just going to get better and it's just going to grow. And, you know, we obviously want you to follow us on Twitter at Football52. We're working on our Facebook page. We're working on our website. All that's going to grow. But the whole idea for this season is just to get bigger and better. So we really appreciate all of you listening. And, again, thank you for listening to Football 52. Have a good one, folks.
Look, if you had one shot. Seize everything you ever wanted. One moment.